The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Join in at 770-5633. We're going to have a half hour of open phones here before we end up digging into more of the local response to elderly homeless. And Chad McComas, remember, he used to run Rogue Retreat and then got sideways because, apparently Christian views will make homelessness communities explode in anger and rage, and so he had to be removed. Remember that story? Remember that story? And by the way, there was a lot of fibbing that was going on back then. But I'll just set that aside here at the moment. He's working on a project right now that is going to help a really sympathetic side of the homelessness community to get back into some homes, and that is elderly homeless. A lot of people thrown out on the streets for situations that have nothing to do with sticking a fentanyl injection in their arm or just deciding that they wanted to have a lifestyle that didn't have to follow any rules and I can drink and drug all that I want, you know, that kind of thing. And he's working hard on that, and I wanted to give him some love because I think it is well deserving of that, okay? So emails of the day, and those are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. By the way, same-day crowns are available quite often because they make them in their own labs right there. It's actually quite a fascinating process. Get your appointment today over at centralpointfamilydentistry.com. George writes me this morning, "Hey, Bill. 2,000-plus Medford morons gathered to protest cutting waste, firing zero-producing federal workers that don't show up to work, putting tariffs on countries that rip off the USA on all trade, erasing hummus-munching terrorists and putting criminal illegal alien gangbangers in El Salvador prisons. No flat-screen TVs for them to watch in El Salvador either. Super moron Pam Marsh joins them. Where was Jeff?" I'm not sure. There is a possibility that that Jeff knows which side of even his political bread is buttered on, and it may not be hanging out with the morons. Just saying. Or maybe he was in Salem working on other things. There are other ways to abuse us, and maybe that's what Jeff was doing over the weekend. More ways to abuse. Appreciate the email, George. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. Let me go to line one. Hi, good morning. Monday, what's on your mind? This is Bill. Who's this?
Bill Michael Shaw. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Michael. How are you feeling? What is your overall impression of the tenor of the day? Huh?
Well, I'm not going to take your whole half hour of open phone time, but I do need a couple of minutes to relay my Saturday story to you.
Okay, please do.
So on Saturday, my wife and I were going downtown Seattle to see the Shen Yun show, and I'm not sure if you're aware of it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Epic Times has been talking about that or writing about it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, Chinese dance troupes touring the world, talking about pre-communist China and how bad communism is and such. Anyhow, so my plan was to drive down to Seattle and park in the parking garage across from the hall where we were going to see the show. My wife decided that we were going to use mass transit instead. So we ended up taking the car and driving to the light rail system so we could take the light rail train to a certain point in Seattle, where we then had to climb 12 sets of stairs to get to the monorail, which then we had to pay for that second train.
Yeah.
Called the monorail versus light rail.
Yeah. That must be the same. They're still running that monorail from the 1960s, huh? Same thing, huh?
Yeah, I don't know when it was put in. So anyhow, the monorail takes us to Seattle Center. So we get off the monorail at Seattle Center, but on the train and on the light rail, we see all the protesters with their signs commuting along and such, and I'm just sitting there, you know, biting my tongue as my wife is looking at me with evil eyes saying, "Don't get into it. Please don't get into it."
I can just see you, too. I can just see your blood pressure rising by the second, right? Hanging out with
him. Mm-hmm. So we get off at Seattle Center, and there at Seattle Center is the protest of the day, the the Trump derangement system, Musk madness crowd, for, you know, 3,000 or 5,000 people all carrying their signs and listening to misspoken speakers and such, and they're carrying their signs about my dog is for democracy and keep your hands off my federal workers and other things that make absolutely no sense, and they don't point out to any real cognitive intelligence about the issues that they supposedly know so much about. So I once again kept my mouth shut, and we got through that crowd to get over to the McCaw Hall where we were going to see the show. And my wife looked at me and said, "You did good, honey. You did good. You didn't lose your cool and get arrested today."
Oh, yeah. And you know something? It's probably wise. In Seattle, they would have been more likely to arrest you than arrest any of the clowns that were there.
Oh, absolutely. But what I got to get back to is the function of the mass transit system here. So I could have used about $6 worth of high premium fuel that my SUV takes, and I would have paid $10 in parking, so about $16 to do that. Mm-hmm. Instead, I had to pay $12 for the light rail, $16 for the monorail, so there's $28 there. Then I had a tag for an Uber because we left the hall and went to the restaurant to have dinner afterwards, and that cost me $22. So I've got $50 in transit versus if I'd taken my own vehicle, it would have been about $16.
Oh, but think of how much of the planet that you saved, Michael, because of not emitting those carbon fumes from your SUV. Think about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. So look at how much money I could have spent on helping homeless or doing something else if you hadn't stolen it out of my pocket by transit fees.
Good point. Michael, thank you for sharing the story, and I'm glad you didn't get arrested in Seattle, too, okay? Otherwise, we'd be talking about Michael's latest movie, Incarcerated in Seattle. It is 5 minutes after 7, KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Let me do a quick check of Town Hall News. I'll get right back to your calls. Open phones for this next 20 minutes or so. Did you see the latest day of rage here in Southern Oregon? Any impression on that or anything else on your mind, too?
The song Our House
for NBC 5 News, your place.
And we're at 53 degrees. Miter Dave, you brought up an interesting piece of news that broke late last week. Actually, was talked about a bit more over the weekend about our forest, huh? What's on your mind?
Yeah, President Trump signed an emergency order, so this prevents the environmental groups from suing, but to sell have 50% of the forest for logging of the United States forest.
Yeah, I wanted to, I'm going to share this from a Washington Post story that I was reading over the weekend here. And the actual order was signed by the Agricultural Secretary, Brooke Rollins. And this is interesting because U.S. Forest Service said, of course, BLM, a lot of that, it's all under the agriculture world. And Trump administration has removed environmental protections covering more than half of the land managed by the U.S. Forest Service as part of the president's aim to significantly bolster the U.S. logging industry. And Brooke Rollins saying that heavy-handed federal policies have prevented the U.S. from making use of its abundance of timber resources that are more than adequate to meet our domestic timber production needs. You agree with that?
Yes, I do, but there is only one problem. They got to be milled. And so there has to be, now this probably take Congress, but there needs to be tax credits and siting authority that would overrule, like Oregon, from you even building a plant to mill it all. So there'd have to be.
Yeah, you could. Okay, I guess the bottom line, you could have the log, sure, but do you have a way to process them? Point well taken here, especially in Oregon, as you know, so many of them have taken off. I guess it's too late for us to get rough and ready's mill stuff back from China, right?
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. The point on this one is, once again, though, it is a memo issued by the agricultural secretary. This needs to be actually a law from Congress, though, don't you think?
I think that they could use the law for any BLM lands that the Forest Service manages, they could just start logging that.
Yeah, all I'm getting at, though, is that, you know, a memo is not going to get capital to sit there and say, hey, we're going to invest, you know, $100 million in building a sawmill, let's say, or a processing mill in Coos Bay or some other. You know what I'm getting at here? This is what I'm getting at. To say to open up the forest is great, but I think it would be wiser, though, to get it in law so that half of that forest is no longer under the EPA rules that have been hobbling it.
I agree with that. But, you know, it might be more like $500 million to build a plant under inflation today. I don't know if you could build a plant for $100 million.
All right. Well, would it be okay to open up the forest for more logging if we exported the logs or not?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay. All right. That's one man's opinion, and I'll be happy to take your opinion on that and many other topics this morning. How you doing? This is the Bill Meyer Show. KMED 99.3 KBXG. Sean's update is up, and then more of your calls.
Spring has sprung. Here's Bill Meyer.
Happy to take your call, 770-5633, like the man said. Wild Sam and Steve, you used to be in the timber industry, and it's pretty well known now that the Trump administration is very friendly, has just issued an order last week to open up more than half of the U.S. Federal Forest Service lands, the lands that they control right now, to logging. In other words, getting rid of the rules that limit this. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I'm hopeful that that works out. I mean, it could solve a lot of problems, including places for people to work and resources to build houses. But one of the things that I tried to talk to you and Greg about was the fact that they took 40%. They took the Interagency Fire Bureau out of the Forest Service and BLM.
That's right.
And made that funded directly from Congress. So the thing that's really important there is now the Forest Service has no incentive to burn more land.
That's important.
Because, the Forest Service budget basically was driven by the interagency fire.
Yeah, they wouldn't get more money to take care of campgrounds, as an example. What they would get more money is when the forest burned and burned often, right?
That's exactly right. So, you know, Greg's perspective is he was a firefighter, and I respect that, but I don't think that is the thing that's important about taking the Interagency Fire Bureau out of the Forest Service and BLM.
It was the perverse incentive to burn the forest for monetary purposes, because that ends up being where the money is right now in the current way
Absolutely.
Of designing things, right?
So I don't know what that's going to do. I mean, how quickly that can happen. I would like to see the Trump administration move the Forest Service to Oak Ridge, Oregon, and the BLM to somewhere the middle of the West Coast.
Basically. In other words, get them out of the Beltway influence, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, so that they could see what they were doing. All they see now is dollar signs. And so now it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with the Forest Service and BLM, even locally, because now they're no longer going to be focused on the fire situation and managing the lands that they have. Is going to be what they're supposed to be doing, but they don't even think about that. So it's like their whole world is changing.
Indeed. Well, hopefully a change for the better. Thanks for the call, Steve. 770-5633. What's on your mind as we get started off? Oh, by the way, stocks appear to be bouncing off of an original opening. It plunged when it opened up, and then it popped up about 1% or so is what we're looking at the moment. Hi, good morning, KMED. Who's this? Welcome.
Holly Morton, Josephine County.
Hey, Holly. How'd things go? Did your windows get broken after the hands-off protest across the street?
No, but our brains got imploded by all the foolishness. You know, there were hundreds of people, you know, bust in. I went and said to this lady, where are you from? And she goes, I'm from Grants Pass. I said, oh, no kidding. I said, you know, I don't recognize all you folks. She goes, oh, no, we're all from Grants Pass, and nobody's getting paid, which I didn't even ask her, and And
well, that was sort of the rumor going around on a lot of the blogs that that a lot of this was rent-a-mob. But of course, this would be rent-a-mob for the entire country. There's a lot of this going on in blue hive mind areas all across the country.
Right, right. Well, you know, they're just going on anarchy. I read that quite a while back that Indivisible was saying, you know, protest everything. You know, create gatherings. You mm-hmm. know,
yeah.
let everybody know that we're or that we think that we're on the wrong track. And there were all these signs, you know, most of it was kind of truth optional. Oh, they're taking away our Social Security and we want the right to kill babies. And there's quite a bit of, you know, quite a bit of different messaging in the signage.
Like there's going to be any change, even if there was a federal change, like there would be any change to the state of Oregon policy, Holly. It's silly.
Right.
To even bring up the reproductive right issue, unless you're considering the reproductive right issue that you have the right for the government to pay for your so-called gender change surgery, that kind
right.
of thing.
Well, at 1 o'clock, the buses, you know, they all went back, jumped on their buses and took off, you know, after everybody saying, no, they're not being bused in. These are all our local people.
Okay. Well, if they were all local people, why would they be on buses? It doesn't make sense.
Well, that
unless they were on Josephine County Transit, I could make that would make sense. Okay.
Yeah. No, they were on buses of some sort. We took pictures of it. Some of the people took some pictures to be able to prove it later. And they, you know, most of the people were reasonably, aside from being hysterical, you know, reasonably well behaved. Joseph Rice got punched in the mouth, got his lip split, and ended up in urgent care.
Really?
But yeah.
Oh. Yeah, did the person get arrested who punched him?
You know, Joseph did want to press charges, and the police weren't having it. They just were not having it. And he said, "Well, you have a body cam on; you ought to be able to see what happened." And a lot of our people saw what happened, but no, they weren't into it. I think they were just trying to keep things calm, and they probably figured if they arrested somebody, there'd be an issue. The pictures were taken of the person who did it, hit him with a sign, I guess. And,
oh, okay.
You know, I saw him, his lip was pretty well beat up, and I know he ended up in urgent care. So,
well, you know, the thing is, Joseph is more than capable of taking care of himself. I guess he didn't want to get into any kind of brouhaha either. I understand not wanting to necessarily.
Right, no, and it was a woman, you know. Joseph's not that kind, but
yeah,
it was, you know, it's so frustrating. To watch this, you would think that they would give this president a few months to try to sort through the details.
I know the hands-off protest, though. I think they did a good thing, because if it wasn't for the hands-off protest, I never would have known that the left didn't like Donald Trump. Who knew until now, this weekend, right?
Right.
I'm just having fun with you, as you well know. You have to.
Well, I was against giving oxygen to him. I wouldn't have even gone outside. We had our rally. It was a phenomenal rally, great speakers, and we had a good time. And these guys were gathered outside. They decided to come a little early and see what they could do to disrupt what we were up to. And I was just thinking, shoot, ignore them. You know, they're very ignore-worthy, in my opinion. But some people felt the need to go out and with the signs and all that kind of thing.
I understand. I understand. You know, it's people getting in your face and you want to get back in your face. It's that same sort of thing. It's the tribalism. But overall, though, other than Joseph Rice's lip, no casualties in Joe County, right?
No, just, you know, our brains.
Yeah.
You know,
okay. Brains. Yeah, I know. You have no brains as well. I get it. I understand that. Thank you so much, Holly. Glad to hear it. Okay.
Take care, Bill.
All right. It's 725 KMED 99.3 KPXG. Anybody have their lip split in the Medford or Ashland versions of this? I don't know. Of course, I don't know if there was a counter protest showing up in Ashland. I know there was some guy. I'm assuming it was a guy that ended up getting a traffic ticket in Medford because he took his diesel truck and was rolling coal. You know, when you floor it and you just spew the diesel smoke into the crowd. He got busted for that, but that's the only one that I've heard about, the only law enforcement action at the Medford version of the Day of Rage 2.3, or, you know, wherever they are right now.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Well, I think my dog's a Democrat. Care and I buy everything he eats. I provide him with a place to live just to keep him off the streets. But he just acts like he's entitled, even tried to unionize the cat. Yeah, I think my dog's a Democrat.
That cracks me up. Brian Lewis did that. My dog. I think my dog's a Democrat. And thank you to Jeff from Selma for sending that along. But this is for all of those people over the weekend that had their "My dog is for democracy" signs as they were out at the Days of Rage or the Hands Off protest over the weekend. I thought that was Jeff. I needed the laugh. Thank you. I always appreciate that. My dog is a Democrat. Now, what is a cat though? Dog's a Democrat. I can't exactly say the cat, and I like cats. I have two of them right now. They're dependent, but they're kind of bosses at the same time. It's not really a Democrat. It's not even a libertarian because they would want to live on their own. Dogs are Democrats. What, cats, authoritarian dictators? We live in the house, but they actually own the house and run the house. I don't know. Could that be the way it is? Yeah. I know with cats, you always have to negotiate. Dogs, you just tell them, no, sit down. that kind of thing. We're going to talk more about this story here. I don't know if we'll talk about it today or maybe tomorrow, but this was on the KVAL television website. Bill London ends up contributing this one. He says, "Hey, Bill, you might find this interesting. As the Eugene Emeralds open the 2025 baseball season Friday, April 4th, we're talking about potential places that the M's could move to. The team announced last month that they have officially exhausted every avenue trying to stay in Eugene, and they're exploring some options to build a new home. It turns out the front runner isn't too far away." Yes, this is the continuation of what I was mentioning a few weeks ago. "Medford appears to have a strong interest in bringing the Emeralds to Southern Oregon. They are doing everything they can, including getting creative with financing." Yeah, getting creative with financing to build a new stadium to keep professional baseball in Oregon. That's a big priority for M's general manager, Alan Benavides. But what has stood out the most about Medford has been the excitement of bringing the Emeralds into the community. Benavides says, "I think what's really appetizing about Medford is just the sheer interest that they've shown us. They are very engaged. They really, really, really want this. This isn't like a maybe. We've had regular folks reach out like, 'Hey, what can we do to help?' The parks and recreation folks are like, 'Yeah, this is interesting.' We still have to talk with the city and the council, and that's what we're doing next week. But we've talked to community leaders out there, and they're like, 'We need this.' So it's that strong desire to see this happen here or there that feels good. It feels good to be wanted, right?" The Emeralds will meet with the Medford City Council on April 9th. That is this Wednesday, by the way, to present the idea of potentially building a new stadium in Medford. But Benavides says that the M's are keeping all their options open and will still be in Eugene for another 2 to 4 seasons. By the way, the population of Eugene Springfield saw through the grift that Benavides is trying to sell. Do you think that the Medford City Council will see through the grift too? This whole idea that a community that would not spend $100 million at taxpayer expense to build a stadium for the Eugene Emeralds, now they come to Medford and they're hoping that we're stupid enough to spend $80 to $100 million or more. That's what they're hoping for. Well, let's see. Eugene wised up and said that we're not attracting that much. This is not a team that people are going to fly in to watch, but naturally, we'll just get the good old boy of the hotel motel world to back this because tourism, right? That sort of thing. But Eugene wised up and said, "No, we're not going to spend $100 million to build a new stadium for the Eugene Emeralds." But maybe they think that Medford is stupid enough to do it. I know people want it. people want it. Yeah, I'd like a pony too. Where does this mindset come that for some reason we have to tax everybody that will never go see a ball game or to go swim or anything else, that people's entertainment needs to be taxpayer subsidized? Where did this come from? Is Southern Oregon dumb enough to go for it again? I don't know. We'll see. I'll be curious to hear what the city council has to say after the Wednesday meeting. But yeah, I've been pretty clear my opinion on this. If baseball makes so much money, the Eugene Emeralds should be happy to go out there and get a loan and build a stadium. But I know that's not the way you do business these days. You get idiots in city or county government to go along with it and say, hey, we'll grift on your behalf. Woohoo! Anyway. Yeah, if they go for this kind of stuff, I mean, I thought the Rogue X was an incredible grifting opportunity. We'll have cornhole tournaments in here, and we'll get to expand our hotel theme more. All you got to do is pay $60 a year. Everybody has to pay $60 a year for the next 10 to 20 years to pay it off so somebody else gets their entertainment. I don't know. Crazy, I know. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. I'd like to answer your question about where the mindset for the ponies and ice cream come from.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Government education. If you think about it, you take these very small minds, you know, young minds, and they put them in, what is it, a government institution? And no matter what they say or whatever, after a while, the whole mindset becomes government is God, government provides all, government is good.
Government provides all good things, including baseball, right?
Of course.
All right. Using my Sylvester the Cat Ron Wyden feel this morning, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you for the call. Gosh, I hope not. I you know, especially in a time that we're looking at fewer grant stream dollars coming from Uncle Sugar, that the city of Medford doesn't find some, as they termed it in the KVAL story, creative financing to hang a new ball stadium around the taxpayers of Southern Oregon. That's my opinion. This is going to be the story, I think, which keeps on giving over the few weeks. But we'll see what happens Wednesday, the city council. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters. Proudly offering Adrian Steel Interior.
Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Hi, I'm Amber Rose with Siskiyou Pump Service, and I'm on KMED.
I was talking with Chad McComas over the weekend, and was so proud to get him to come in here. Chad McComas, of course, has been really big on homelessness and getting real solutions out there for the folks. And Chad, it's good to come to have you back on. Who are you with, or what is the name of your ministry these days? You have a different world that you're going
in. Well, we have a nonprofit called Set Free Services, and we've had it since 2017. And we are doing a lot of work for the homeless. We have showers and laundry services, and we have the largest food bank in Jackson County. But we've always had this heart to work with seniors who are homeless. And it's been on my heart since I was back at Rogue Retreat because it needed to happen. You know, a lot of the homeless programs that we built were transitional. A lot of them across the country are transitional. Get people in, get them case managed, get them out back into society and be productive again. But when you have seniors, that can't happen because they're not going to go back and get another job. They're not going to be able to go back to school. They are trapped. And so these shelters are filling up with seniors.
Now, a lot of people may not realize that. And I was talking with the folks at Gospel Rescue Mission in Grants Pass, and they are working on
housing
on housing up there for much the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a deal is it here in Southern Oregon? Because for the most part, when you're talking about the seniors needing affordable housing, this is not the necessarily the alcohol, fentanyl addict, and mentally ill person that we will see hanging out by Jimmy John's.
No,
Jimmy John's in Medford.
You know these are people that have worked hard all their lives. They're trying to survive on Social Security, and it's based on your last 40 years of income, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're working at low wages, which a lot of them were, their Social Security is $800-$900 a month, maybe $1,200 a month. How do you live on that when rents are now getting up to $1,400 now for a studio?
Yeah.
And what do you do?
Interesting you talk about the low level of Social Security. My mother, as an example, I'll use her as an example. She's 85. I don't think she'd mind me, you know, talking about her. If she wasn't able to qualify from my father's income because she was a stay-at-home mom, I mean, she'd be on the streets. Or
yes, she would.
Yeah. You know, well, she wouldn't be on the streets. I would make sure she wasn't on the streets.
Right, because you're around.
Yeah, exactly.
But what happens if she didn't have a child?
Yeah, forget about it. I don't think there'd be anybody, you know, willing to help her at this point. And she's still independent, but yeah. This is kind of where we find ourselves. So Social Security is not enough to afford living in Southern Oregon in many cases.
Anywhere.
But especially here in Southern Oregon.
And, you know, people have said it's not meant to be able to sustain yourself on Social Security. You know, you should have had a 401k. But a lot of these people were minimum wage as they were working through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're living from paycheck to paycheck. You can't put money aside for retirement because you can barely make it. So now you're retiring and you've worked hard and you're now in Social Security and you may have lost your spouse. So now you're a widow or a widower and maybe you don't have any children or your children are caught up in drugs or they're just not helping mom and dad. They're just ignoring them. And now these poor seniors, they're stuck.
Well, you've been quiet about this latest mission, this latest world that you're starting up here, Joy Community. And it just so happens I was driving down Biddle the other day and I was looking over at the old meatpacking plant, which has been closed for
30 plus
for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But this is where it's going to be.
Yeah. The owners of that place are just wonderful people, and they've got quite a bit of land there, and so they're going to let us use their land to at least get this started, prove the concept. If we had to start with a blank piece of land, it would take forever to get government approval and all that type of thing. So we can do it there. And I'm the city's working with me, and I appreciate that. And so we'll get it open fairly soon.
All right. What will this look like, Chad, if you don't mind?
Well, you know, we can't do apartments. We can't afford to do that. So we're doing tiny homes. And you've got a sheet in front of you. And these are, you know, little homes that are on wheels, that are well-built, that are far better than a bed in a shelter somewhere.
Yeah, I'm going to hold it up to the Facebook Live camera.
Yeah.
It is like a tiny home on a trailer.
Yeah,
okay,
that's exactly
so
right.
You can move these then where they are needed.
Right, and we can build this little village and prove what we're going to do, this community, and we can do it fairly inexpensively because you can get one of these for, depends on if they have plumbing or don't have plumbing, $15,000 to $25,000, mm-hmm. and then we get donations. It's been amazing. We've just been kind of quietly pushing this out there. So far, we're not taking any government money. I learned that lesson. I won't do that again.
Over at Rogue Retreat. Huh?
Yes, I won't ever do that again because there's a lot of strings that come with that. And so we're not going to do that. So we're just putting the word out. We've raised $500,000 so far, which is amazing.
It's about 20, 25 homes?
We'll have 10 to start with.
Okay.
And we'll expand from there. We'll do it as we can and as the funds come in. And a lot of the money has come from widows and widowers. And seniors,
really?
Because they understand. They say, boy, that would be me. If I didn't have my house, if I didn't have my kids, if I didn't have this, I would be there. And they, you know, across the nation, they say by 2030, senior homelessness will triple. And right now, the shelters across the nation are filling up with seniors. They don't know what to do with them.
And doesn't the government in some ways, Chad, get in the middle of the homelessness situation by deciding that if you're going to have a home, it must have this, that, blah, 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 and the other, which would drive the stick-built cost probably to the minimum of $100,000 to $150,000, maybe $200,000, depending on what area you're in?
You know, we could get off on all of that, Housing First and all the money they've wasted in Los Angeles and San Francisco building all these apartments that were $600,000 a door and all that kind of thing. It's just ridiculous. You know, we can do things far cheaper and make it just as nice and make it a place where people can live out their lives and feel really good about themselves and feel like they're safe. That's what we need.
All right. Why have you been so quiet about this? Just curious.
Well, Bill, I know there's such a big need.
I just found out about over the weekend here.
I know. There's such a big need that I know that if we get the word out too much, we're going to get inundated. We already have a waiting list of over 100 people. And these are people who desperately need this. And it's growing daily. And every time I get the word out, it grows more. And I'm starting with 10. You know, I need to have a couple of hundred. But we'll get there.
Hmm. Is there anything that would stop, let's say, even the government actors, Jackson County Housing as an example, Josephine County Housing. Is there anything that would stop them from doing something like this too?
Well, they are trying to build as fast as they can. You know, the Alameda fire wiped out 2,500 units. And so the housing authority was already behind about 2,500 units at that point. So they're they're desperately building as fast as they can and the money they get, but they can't catch up. And it's expensive what they're building.
Well, that's what I was getting at here. The whole concept, though, that that people who are very poor and, you know, through no fault of their own, for whatever reason, whatever victim of circumstances or here it is, or they earn their money at a time and the Social Security is just not going to be at it. People get priced out of a conventional stick built or any kind of a conventional home. And yet at the same time, they'll say, well, we don't want, you know, anything like this either, or we don't want it in my backyard. And I understand that. I understand people are trying to, you know, protect their stuff, too. But
this is a different type of homeless person, though.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm getting. You know,
this is not the drug addict and the criminal.
No. You know, this is not someone that's going to be, you're not going to be hearing about Medford police or Jackson County sheriffs
not at all.
Showing up because they're shooting up the parking lot on some weekend of a holiday. You know, you're not going to hit that kind of stuff. But yet we don't get enough of this because at the same thing, you know, you're supposed to have, you know, two bedrooms and a certain amount of square feet and yada, yada, yada. You see what I'm getting at here? All the limitations here.
All the regulations.
Mm-hmm.
That really stop us from being able to help people.
You know, what is a home? Is it morally superior to be sleeping in your car rather than sleeping
in You know, I mean, a lot of these seniors are living in their cars. And then eventually they lose their car and then they end up on the streets. And then they maybe end up in a shelter.
Yeah.
Right now we have 10 people we've selected for the first 10. One's an 80-year-old lady living at the Kelly Shelter. She's been there 17 or 18 months.
Okay.
You know, one bed in this big room of 50 beds, 80-some years old. Come on.
Yeah.
That's not where she belongs.
What kind of criteria are you having then for Joy Community, this senior housing?
Well, we're starting out with, you know, I've got the pastoral background, right? So we're starting out with that biblical mandate of taking care of widows and widowers and, you know, the orphans. These are the people that don't have any support system. Mm-hmm. That's who we're targeting first. People that nobody's going to help them if we don't help them. You know, they just aren't going to make enough money. There's nobody out there. But we'll start with that and then we'll grow from there. But we, you know, we've got 60, 70, 80-year-old people that have nobody to help them.
All right. What will the cost be for them? Is it a sliding scale sort of thing?
You know, we'll have a program fee. We're not a landlord. They're not a tenant. It's a program. And so they get into the program, and that program includes having, you know, a safe place to live, utilities are paid for, they have a place that they can have a locking door and it's theirs, and they don't have to worry about anybody getting in. They'll have staff. It'll be there'll be a regular program.
All right. How did you get approval to be able to do this? I know we have it at the old meatpacking plant. Is it kind of something where the permitting process is kind of light on something like that, where you used to kill cows? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, that's a long story, but I knew that since I had a campground there before with the city, I knew that they would probably be very helpful.
So City of Medford's fine then.
They're working with me, yeah.
Okay.
And I really appreciate that. They've been very, 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 very helpful. And because they know it needs to happen. So they're trying to figure out how we can make this thing work and open doors for us.
I'm glad that you have it segregated and that it's not another mixed community, because I think the mixed community, just like I wouldn't want the kids, the mothers with children, you know, sitting in the middle of a tiny home development with a lot of hardcore drug addicts and alcoholics, or people with real serious structural problems, you know, going on in their life.
Let me just share one story just to show how this happens.
Okay.
So I had a call not too long ago from DHS, and they had a person. They were saying, hey, we need to get this guy somewhere. He lives in his own mobile home. He bought it 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. He's in a mobile home park. He owns a mobile home, but his rent rate, his space rent is going up. His taxes are going up, and he can't afford to pay. He's going to lose his house because he doesn't make enough money to protect his house. And she said, what are we going to do? He's in his 90s.
Oh, boy.
And I said,
people outliving their wealth, too.
Yeah. And it's not his fault. You know, space rent goes up, tax goes up, and he doesn't make enough to keep up with it. You lose your houses that way. It's ridiculous.
Is he the type of person, or is he going to be in this initial?
No, he's not in the initial. But that's just a typical scenario of what's going on with our seniors. They can't keep up.
What are the other types of people you have, the initial 10 that are coming in? You talked about, what was it, an 80-year-old?
We have 60s, 70s, and 80-year-old people that are coming in to begin with, and they don't have any family or support system.
What's their story? overall, besides not having...
They've just lost their family. You know, one guy, his wife was murdered. His daughter died of diabetes. He's all alone. He doesn't make enough money. He had a business at one time, but that just shattered him. And he's just a broken man. And he's living at the campground out here. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not a good place for him to be. You know, and we can go off story after story after story.
All right. Are you having to deal with any drug or alcohol addictions in this community or not?
You know, very little. And it's only probably just because they don't know how to cope sometimes. But when you give them hope, they don't need that dope to cope. It just goes away.
Oh, okay.
You give them hope, changes everything. And they build this community. They'll work together. They'll eat meals together. They'll just have a great time.
So
we're going to have ability for them to make some dignified income. We'll have some crafts and different things they can get involved with. And then they can sell it, and that gives them a little bit more money in their pocket. We're going to have a big garden so they can grow some of their own food, and maybe they'll grow enough they can sell some of that.
Okay.
So we're just wanting them to feel good about themselves and enjoy the rest of their life.
Is this a tiny home community with plumbing or without plumbing?
Some have plumbing and some don't, but there will be, you know, a group restroom or group showers. But our first 10, 6 have their own plumbing and 4 will not.
Okay. All right. When does this start?
As soon as I get a little bit more money. We're right now putting in the water system this week. We got the sewer in last week and get the water in this week. Then we'll level it off. We'll start placing the buildings we own. All the buildings we need except 3. We're down to 3. And so we'll raise that. It'll just come. It just comes. I can't tell you how it comes.
All right. Look, bags of money over here.
Well, it's not bags of money, but you know, we'll get a check for $5,000 from somebody, or a check from $10,000 for somebody, or you know, or somebody sends a couple hundred bucks, and it just comes. And
but this is all private money that you're doing
all
this with.
All private money,
and you're staying away from the government grants for the obvious reason.
Yes.
You know, you're going to make the government
fool grant. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
You're going to make the government grant acceptance look pretty bad, I think, if this ends up working. So you're trying to prove up. This is a proof of concept development, is what you're doing.
It is. There's a place in Austin, Texas called Community First. They started in 2017 to build a tiny house village. They now have 400 tiny homes, and they're about ready to add 400 more. And they've done it all without government money.
So it can be done.
It can be done.
All right.
And it's very, very successful.
Chad McComb is with me once again, and it is setfreeservices.org is the main ministry. Is this part of the ministry? Or
yeah.
I just want to make sure that...
Well, it's a separate 501c3.
Okay. You know,
so we're doing it the way we need to do it. We can get grants from foundations, and we will go after that. We're just not going after government money.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of strings that come with this.
A lot of strings.
And
then they try to tell you what you can say and not say, and, you know, can you talk about God?
Oh,
no, you can't talk about God.
Caesar had a lot to say about you over at Rogue Retreat.
Yeah. All right. I don't want to go there, but
I get it.
You learn. We should learn.
All right. Learn his lesson there, but still working to help people get housing. I admire what you're doing. I admire that you are doing this with private donations. And if people wanted to open up their heart for something like this, because it's Joy Community serving abandoned seniors, opening soon here. This is over by the old Crater Meat packing plant. And I saw some people over there the other day, and there was some work going on. And at first I'm thinking, are they going to get the old meat packing plant going again? And no, not that.
No, we're not going to pack their meat. We're going to give them a place they can live and feel safe and just be happy again. Have hope.
Very good. Hey, good deal. How can people get a hold of you then?
Well, they can go to setfreeservices.org. They can donate there if they want to. But mm-hmm. there's also there's a place where they can put an email in and they can connect with us. Or they could call us at 541-773-4004.
Chad McComas, always a pleasure
always
talking with
good
you.
Good to see you.
Good to see some positive movement on helping the seniors. And like I'm watching you, I'm also watching what the Gospel Rescue Mission is looking to accomplish in Grants Pass. Positive moves.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need to do it.
Really appreciate that. 7:55. This is KMED and 99.3 KBXG. Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Always appreciate you listening, no matter the time. Live 6 to 9 weekdays on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG. I'm here for you. But life has a way of getting busy, so if you miss a show and you want to catch up, or you just have a different schedule, well, that's what my podcasts are for. The last 3 months or so of my shows available for free download and sharing on KMED.com or BillMeyerShow.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They're helping keep you current. Find out about their services on ClouserDrilling.com. The email of the day on the Bill Myers Show, sponsored by Central Point Family Dentistry. See all they have to offer at centralpointfamilydentistry.com and call for an appointment. Dr. Steve Nelson and his staff are next to Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant, just off Pine in Central Point.
Biscuits so light and fluffy they'd float away without the homemade sausage gravy. Try them at Diner 62, just south of White City.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins.
Someone that we can always depend on for great analysis and advice, and that would be one Jim Cramer.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's the whatever he says, it's the opposite, okay? It's the opposite.
No joke. There is a community of dorks on Reddit explicitly make trades based on what Jim Cramer says on CNBC. They do the opposite.
Yes.
And they're beating the market.
Weekdays 9 to noon on 106.3 KMED. You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Now Bill wants to hear from you. 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
757. Great story Chad McComb is telling, working on helping out the seniors who find themselves homeless in Southern Oregon. Just cheers my heart. Love to see that. Because, I've noticed that trend of people who are older, not enough money, not enough Social Security, various other things for whatever reason, not able to cut it here. Dave, you have a take on that, too? Go ahead. Welcome.
Yeah. Applaud you for having Chad on, and I definitely applaud what he's doing. I'm old enough to remember back. The only really tragic thing about this is that when things come up like this, in the private sector, people out there think that this is strange or different, or it's just like out of the ordinary. But believe it or not, for anybody listening out there, not that long ago, okay, people, okay, neighborhoods, communities, people took care of other people. Okay, I'm not saying we shouldn't have a safety net or whatever, but that's the way it used to be. Okay, it wasn't the government's responsibility to love your neighbor. It was our responsibility to do that. And a lot of the time it wasn't perfect, but it got done.
And the other thing about it is that unlike government, Dave, we are able to use discernment too and not just enable bad behavior. In other words, okay, you know, when you do it out of the goodness of your heart, hey, we're going to we're going to help you with some housing here, but at the same time there are rules you have to follow, and you know, you can't.
It was the government that wrecked it, and here's why. It's just as simple as this. Over the years, the government just continues to take more and more and more of people's money and people's income. Okay, so they have less and less to actually give to organizations like this, who really should be and doing the work and who do a better job at the work. And that's why, when I see what's going on, you know, with the Trump administration, I don't really care how many people are howling, you know, about Doge or any of this stuff. It has to happen because, you know, the more government takes and takes and takes, the less resource people only have so many resources, and they're going to take care of themselves first. So that what this guy Chad is doing, and other people in the private sector doing, that's the answer. I know people think that's some sort of a foreign term that the government has to do.
Well, that's just it. That's why I wanted Chad in, because he's proving that it can be done locally. The other problem with, not only does government suck all the oxygen out of the room, but then government sucking our money away here, David. The government sucking so much of our money away and then returning it in services to us then removes our thinking that we have a responsibility to help people within our...
Thank you, Bill. I mean, it's not the government's responsibility to love our neighbor. Like I said, it's your responsibility and mine. And the thing is when we co-opt that out to the government, not only doesn't it work and we waste billions of dollars, we get ripped off. Okay, there's something that happens to us when we actually love our neighbor and help people. And when we that's the government's job, we get ripped off just as well.
Well, we're damaged because we no longer get the benefit. And there is a benefit of doing the right thing and helping people who deserve to be helped. It's it's wonderfully rewarding to us, too. And that gets short-circuited when you decided, well, it's always up to some FEMA or, you know, government, right, house and education and welfare to take care of these folks that find themselves in crisis. David, I appreciate the call, and thank you for making that, all right? Always appreciate hearing from you, okay? This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass, and we're going to check Town Hall News and see what else is going on here in just a moment. Kim Commando Digital Update, Dr. Powers will be joining me for Where Past Meets Present, always talking about how, lately we've been talking about how communities in our area came to be, and it wasn't due to government largesse, let me put it that way, all right? Back in those days, if there were people that were true charity cases, we helped them. And that has been sucked out of our culture. It's almost like rebuilding a community culture just by sucking the government grant stream funding out of it. Maybe that's just as simple as that, huh? This is the Bill Myers Show. I said this is the Bill Myers Show. I'm clicking my mouse button. Something's supposed to happen.